Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Geek Brunch Retrocast. This is going to be a special episode because me and Rob were going to originally record, and Rob got sick. He got a tummy ache. He ate something bad, or something happened, or he's got a stomach bug. There's no such thing as the stomach flu, but there is a stomach bug, and it can, it could ha get, you could get sick. So you had to cancel. So it's getting ready to snow and dump. I'm not going anywhere. I decided, why the hell not? Why not go ahead and do an episode of Geek Brunch Retrocast? Because it will be the one before Christmas, and it's not Christmas themed. But I was just gonna treat it like another retrocast. But this one was kind of interesting because I did a little experiment. I read some True Believers, and it was a whole set that came out. I believe it came out in 1 week, and the True Believers theme was annihilation. And the interesting thing about this is I own all of these. In their original format. But the covers were so striking at the comic book store that I decided I needed to buy them again. And I hadn't read a lot of them in a long time. One of them I remember, one of them I read within the last year, the original, and I adored it. And then a one I read about, man, that was about 10 years ago when I was in a Steve Gerber kick. And I read it again. And I thought I'd go through the issues with you. One is True Believers Annihilation Quasar. And what this is reprinting is Hulk 234, 35-cent issue. And it says Battleground Berkeley. It's the first appearance of Quasar, and the interesting thing about this is it's really Marvel Man becoming Quasar, and it only happens like on one page, and it's like not relative to the story, in terms of the single issue. The other one is Annihilation Annihilus. This particular issue is from Fantastic Four, and this is the one that like got me hooked on rereading a lot of FF. Fantastic Four 140, and it's got Annihilus fighting the FF, and it says, "I've smashed the Thing, I've crushed the Human Torch, I've blasted Medusa and Mr. Fantastic, and now Annihilus rules two worlds. Guess again, dingbat, because the FF don't give up till we're dead, and we ain't dead yet." That was the Thing. We have that issue. I don't know if the ne latest Annihilation is focused on Quasar, or the FF or Annihilus, but I guess we shall see because the number ones have just started to leak out, the one shots. We then have Annihilation Omega the Unknown printing Omega the Unknown number one. That was the Steve Gerber issue that I was talking about. We have Annihilation Nova, and this is the first issue, first appearance of Nova. And that was in Nova number one, volume one. And last but not least, we have Annihilation Manwolf. And that one was reprinting Marvel Premiere number 45. And I think I have a full run of this, minus a few Doctor Who issues, I believe. I think I'm missing one now. Then I have a full run of that. So let's dive in, and I'll tell you the ranking of how I rank these. At number one, I have to go with Omega the Unknown. I think this book is really ahead of its time, and I don't think anybody. I think it just clicks with me, and I know a lot of people could get confused with this story, but it really is not that confusing when you sort of break it down. If I remember correctly, the ending is kind of weird. There is some weird themes. It does go all over the place, but it's really, really fun. I enjoyed it. So my top book is Omega the Unknown, number one. I will follow that up with Annihilus, the Fantastic Four issue. Both of those I would have to give a 5 out of 5. I just thought they were perfect issues that make you want to read more. And I definitely did after this little exercise. The next one I will give to the Quasar issue, which was in the Incredible Hulk issue. That's number three. And then number four I'll give to Man-Wolf. And the last but not least, I'll give to Annihilation Nova, which I like the least, but it still was a lot of fun. So let's start at the bottom and work our way to the top and just discussing these issues. So we had Nova number one. It's been a long time since I've read this issue. It's Marv Wolfman on the concept and story and editor. He's editing himself. And John Buscema and Joe Sinnott on art, and Joe Rosen on letters, and Michelle Wolfman, the colorist. And this scene opens up pretty cool. And it's weird because they decided to do like a Billie Jean King, and what was that tennis match? I forget what the guy's name was. A guy versus girl tournament, but it was a basketball. And it has Ronnie, I was going to say Ronnie Raymond. Richard Rider. It has Rich playing basketball against with five other guys against a girls team, and the girls team ends up winning. And I guess Rich is kind of like a geek and I guess treated pretty bad, but he caused them to lose the game with the girls. I didn't remember that at all. I do remember the overall story arc of there is a Nova Corps member, sort of like the Green Lantern Corps. It's kind of like a Green Lantern knockoff, you know, with Abin Sur coming to Earth and passing down. He's dying, this Centurion. And he wants to pass on his life force onto a worthy person. And he sort of passes that on to Ronnie. And he's getting bullied by one of the guys because he lost the game. And it seems like he's like the guy that, you know, the Eddie Brock. Not the Eddie Brock. Who's the guy? Flash Thompson that used to pick on Peter. It's the guy that was always picking on Nova, Rich. And it's hard for me to get to say Richard Rider. I don't know why, but every time I want to say Ronnie Raymond, and maybe because they're both RR, they're sort of space oriented. Well, I guess Firestorm isn't. He was science created. But I will tell you, I might say Ronnie Raymond. And I don't mean Ronnie Raymond, that's Firestorm. It's Richard Rider. So don't let me confuse you. I'm just letting you know that part of my brain will say that. It just does. I don't know why. But the Centurion passes on his abilities as he's getting beat up. And the guy's like, I didn't do nothing. And he's in a coma in the hospital. And later on, he awakens from the hospital. And his parents are just glad to see him, and he like blew up the hospital room. I was like, what the hell's going on? Then he's back in school. I take it he's in high school, but I don't think it mentions like the high school that he's from. Trying to see. Oh yeah, it's Harry S. Tubman High School. So and you know the Annihilation series does Scourge. It does feature Nova, Silver Surfer, Beta Ray Bill, and Fantastic Four. So I guess it touches that. Maybe we'll see some Annihilus, but who knows, why they had Quasar or Omega the Unknown. Maybe they appear somewhere, the books that are actually coming out. So then he's sort of getting picked on again later on, but he's toughing it up like he should. And then he becomes Nova. He's like, holy crap, I got this power. I could fly like a human rocket. And he's happy as hell. He's like, wow, this is incredible. And then he could hear like radio signals and police band radio signals. How about that? And he gets attacked. There's a disturbance from a guy, I think his name is Zor, and he's the one that killed the original Centurion. That was Harley Scratching. So Nova goes to face him, sort of gets his ass kicked initially, which could be expected because this is the first time Richard Rider has actually, had these powers. And that bully and his girlfriend and another guy are in a like a jeep without a roof, and a building's like gonna fall on them from their battle. Nova has to hold it up so they can get out in time. And then Zor vanishes. And that's sort of the end of the first issue. But it was pretty solid. I like the art more than the story. We've seen better space-oriented stories with the Green Lantern vibe than this particular one. But it was entertaining, and I look forward to reading some more Nova. Even though I have the full run, I probably should get in there and finish the series again at some point, refresh my memory. Because when I bought the Nova series, completed it, I didn't ever finish it. I completed it, like I purchased it, but I only bought the issues or read the issues that I already read, and maybe like two or three more. So I bought some off the spinner rack. I read them. Sorry, I have to take a drink. And never really finished all of it. But I was always intrigued by the character, whether he be in New Warriors or his costume is pretty striking. It's really striking. I don't know if they ever made like a Bowen mini bust of him, but I would have loved to have a Bowen mini bust of Nova. And I might have. I have quite a bit of mini busts. So next one I'll talk about is Annihilation Man-Wolf. And this guy's pretty prominent in current comics. There's like he's one of those characters that is really cool, but editors like give too much leeway with him, if you know what I mean. They don't like restrict like they would another character. Like if, for instance, like he plays, Jameson plays, John Jameson plays a part in Absolute Carnage, and he actually gets infected with the symbiote, becomes like a man-wolf symbiote, and he's part of that event. But, and that is kind of like an isolated event. It isn't affecting the whole Marvel Universe. But at the same time, in publishing, we have Agents of Wakanda, Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda. And he's also a member of that. So in that book, SHIELD is disbanded, and Black Panther forms a unit that's trying to take the place of SHIELD to be like a global agency. And it's got some really cool characters. I was so impressed. I gave that book a 5 out of 5. That was written by Jim Zub and Lan Medina. That's not retro. But it features a lot of classic characters like Kazar, Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, Gorilla Man, the lead fighter for Black Panther, I forget what her name is. Man Wolf, of course. American Eagle, Agent Roz Solomon, and I think there might be one or two more others. The Fat Cobra, I think, is his name, who was one of the Iron Fist warriors. But anyway, he's in that book almost simultaneously as that other one's coming out. And he's really different character because in the other book, he was a guard inside of Ravencroft, the insane asylum for the criminally insane. It's kind of like the Arkham Asylum in the Marvel Universe. And he was guarding Norman Osborn. But now he's an agent here, so it's a little confusing. But anyway, he is Man-Wolf. And this particular issue prints an issue of Man-Wolf. I don't think it's his first appearance. I should really look up this. I think his initial appearance was in Spider-Man. But anyway, he's got a stone crafted to his chest that has him turn into a werewolf. But in this case, the story is written by David Kraft with art by George Perez and Frank Giacoa. The editor is Roger Stern, with Jim Shooter being the editor-in-chief. And again, this is Marvel Premiere. Da, da, da. And all these books are a dollar. I forgot to mention that. The True Believers line is a dollar, so you can't go wrong there. They're not as nice as the facsimile edition, because facsimile edition, they do the original ads, they do the original, everything's original except for the price tag. But everything looks the same as the original contact. And they tend to do more expensive books with that. This one, probably not expensive, but probably double digit. And it's a pretty cool story. So my history with Man-Wolf is about, oh man, it's like 12 years ago, maybe a little longer. There was a Halloween issue, I believe, of Back Issue Magazine from Tomorrow's Publishing, and there was a Man-Wolf article, and I use those magazines as bathroom magazines sometimes. I go in and I read an article, and then the next time I go in, I read another article, and this Man-Wolf one captivated me. I was like, wow, this is cool, and it caused me to go on a buying spree. I had to go find his appearances in Spider-Man. I had to get his Creatures on the Loose. I had to get Marvel Premiere. Everything that he was in. And when they would come in on eBay's got real expensive now too, because they started charging tax. They started taxing us, which is, it's not, it's a lot more expensive. So you get fees all up the wazoo. But anyway, I went on a buying spree, an eBay spree. Some of them I probably got from my comic shop. And I picked up this particular issue, but this is the True Believers version that I read or reread. All of these books I've reread also. It's a fun little experiment. So he's on the moon on a ship, and he's currently Man-Wolf, and he finds all these characters on the ship, and he goes in through this barrier on the moon, which it's like a portal dimensional thing, and he ends up on this world where he's considered a god. He's considered the star god, and he doesn't know that. He's still a beast, but he could still talk to these people. And they're dressed like barbarians in space, and he befriends them, and he's granted a sword, a sacred sword of Star God, and they pass that on to him, saying, "Hey, you're now the god of us, and you're protector of us." And then the scene talks about the missing astronaut and J. Jonah Jameson sort of looking for his son, missing his son. He's there with some police officers and Shield agent, and so he really bonds with these guys on this world, that the portal that he went through, and then all of a sudden they're riding dragons and they're going into battle against these like zombie-like skull creatures on skull dragons. They're on like live dragons, and they have this fight in the air, and he's seeing his people slaughtered. And the battle's pretty intense. He ends up falling off his dragon. It looks like he's going to die, but then he is later saved. And he finds out what the one of the guys that he thought was dead, he actually lands on his dragon, and he's sort of saved along with them. They land in the water. And it looks like they're going to have to regroup and figure out why they have to fight these dead-like creatures. So, yeah, I thought that issue was pretty solid in terms of science fiction. And, like, if you're into Conan the Barbarian in space, Man-Wolf would probably fit that bill. It was a really good issue. I recommend it. No more about J. Jonah Jameson, his father, though. The next issue we have is Quasar. And this issue was just a hell of a lot of fun because it's got the dumb Hulk, and I love him. And it also tied into a lot of things that I had been rereading in Marvel Masterworks with Defenders. Let me tell you, Defenders is my favorite superhero team. That's what I first team I bought from Marvel. And it's the team that I sort of latched on to. I just dug the concept. I love that Hulk was there. You know, Nighthawk, Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer, Valkyrie. Just a fantastic group of characters that I just adored. And there was this one-armed woman, because she got in an accident. I believe it was with Nighthawk. He was sort of like drunk driving. And I think that was in a Marvel team up. And she ended up on this, I don't know if it's like a farm or whatever, cult, I don't know. And she learned magic and worked with the Defenders. And now they're at Berkeley with a bunch of smart guys and students and such. And they brought the Hulk home. And, the students don't like it. You know, these students are like, this guy's a beast. He's dumber than hell and could destroy everything. And he's hungry as hell, so he's eating all their damn food. And then it shows Marvel Man guarding, I think, Project Pegasus. And he's like, hey, I have a new code name. Call me Quasar. And it says, be watching Marvel 2-in-1 for his next appearance. So this is his first appearance, and it's saying, hey, go check it out. Thunderbolt Ross is in the hospital. Something to do with nervous breakdown because of the Hulk and Moonstone. Betty is was married to Thalbert. God, I can't remember his name. General Glenn Talbot, I think his name was, and she's saying, "Hey, this was stupid. Yes, we married, but we should have never married. It was a bad mistake." So it looks like she's gonna get a divorce. The Hulk is chowing down on more and more food. He's causing a ruckus, and they're talking behind his back like he's a child, and he's like, he throws a fit. He says, "Hey, I know you're talking behind Hulk's back. I will smash you all." The girl with one arm actually is able to calm him down. Trish is her name. And she's got a friend there with him. And he's a defender. And then one guy goes to report to another guy, "Hey, the Hulk is here." I guess there was some recent encounters with the Hulk and Machine Man number 8 references that. They're going after the Hulk. They send in a team. They look like AIM agents, but they don't have those funky hats. They're yellow. And then they have these like gas masks over their mouths and brown helmets, or hat. I guess it's just a hat that fits over the head. They go knock out the Hulk, take him, and then one of the guys disguises himself as Machine Man. So when he escapes, they captured the girl, and he thinks it's Machine Man. So next issue, we'll see what happens. But excellent issue of Quasar. We then get into my favorite issue. One of the two favorites that I have is just Fantastic Four with Annihilus. It's the origin of Annihilus. And this one is by Jerry Conway with John Buscema, and Joe Sinnott is the inker. Roy Thomas is the editor. John Costanza is the letter. And George Roussos is the colorist. And it talks about Annihilus' hatred of the FF. It also talks about Reed's struggle with Sue being gone, and she took her son with her and just left. There's such a funny line in here, though. Medusa says, "You don't seem too pleased to see us, Reed. What's wrong, brother-in-law?" And Thing says, "Medusa's right, Stretcho. You're about as happy as a preacher at an orgy." I just thought that was hilarious. But he's in a very depressed state right now. And he gets a very disturbing call from Sue, and she's like, "I need your help. I need you to come to me. I need your help now." So he's like, "Hey, we've been disconnected. We need to leave now. Well, I can trace the signal. Let's go. Let's leave." Sue's driving like a maniac. Loses control of her vehicle as she has Franklin with her, crashes her car, sort of by a tree, and then Agatha Harkness shows up and says, "Things aren't as they seem." And she makes a cloud of smoke, burns around her, and teleports Sue and her son away. So the Fantastic Four get there, they get the readings, the radiation readings and all that stuff, and they're like, "Wow, she vanished again." And then Annihilus goes to attack the Fantastic Four as they arrive back at the Four Freedoms Plaza, and a battle ensues. Wyatt Wingfoot is there, and he gets captured and thrown in. Gives the origin of Annihilus, sort of becoming like the first evolved species on his particular planet, and he finds this helmet that lets him think outside the box, and he becomes a creature that he throws Wyatt in the negative zone along with the rest of the Fantastic Four, and then he goes in back into the negative zone. So I imagine the next issue it's going to be Annihilus versus the Fantastic Four in the negative zone. But when I read this, I was so intrigued for so many reasons, and I still don't know the exact reason of why Sue left. And I went back and read some more issues, but I didn't go back far enough, so I haven't figured out where that happens. If any of the readers know and they can tell me the issue, feel free to send me a tweet at Mike Myers Brunch. Let me know where Sue left the FF and why, and I'll read it. And then finally, last but not least, we have Omega the Unknown. This is an odd story. This is by Steve Gerber, Mary Screens, with art by Jim Mooney. And I think the cover was by Hannigan and Sinnott. And this is reprinting Omega the Unknown. This series, I loved Gerber so much in Defenders that I had to get as much Man-Thing and Howard the Duck and Omega the Unknown as I could. And I think when I jumped on Omega the Unknown is when they were relaunching a new Omega the Unknown, and I decided to get the original. And as soon as it came in, I think I got a full set and I read it immediately. And it was really weird. It was a really weird tale. But this first issue is fascinating. It's very sophisticated storytelling. It opens up with Omega the Unknown, and you don't know why who this guy is, but he's being shot at, chased by other aliens, and he's hit. And then the scene cuts to a boy. So you don't know if that boy is having the dreams of Omega the Unknown or what is going on or how their relationship exists. But his parents are sending him off to a school and he doesn't want to. He wants to stay with his parents and be homeschooled. Doesn't want none of that. But they're saying, "Hey, James Michael, you need to go to New York and go to these schools and learn about people and learn to socialize. This is your beginning." They're driving around a mountainside and a truck is veering into their lane and crashes into their car, and it looks like the parents are killed. I don't see the father. I don't know what happens to the father, but he finds his mom and he gets to talk to her before she self-destructs, and you learn his mom is an android, and you're like, what the fuck? And then he's like seeing, like, he's like hallucinating. You don't know what's happening and what's real and what's Memorex. And somebody's trying to rescue him as he's got a concussion, and he sees like monsters. And then the scene cuts to Omega the Unknown again as he's being captured. He escapes. And he fights. So it seems like when the kid is asleep, you get glimpses of Omega the Unknown in another world. And then this doctor is trying to help him. And this nurse, he said they've been there for about a month. And then he never went to that school, and then his parents, they never found the bodies because they self-destructed. They were robots. And then the doctor's real concerned because he's losing finances, and I don't know why they have him, but it's almost like they know he has some like intrinsic ability, and that him and the nurse are trying to coddle him and keep him there. And he goes to talk about more funding with some financiers, and they decide the nurse and her roommate are gonna take this new kid with them. And his name is James Michael. Take James Michael with them. The roommate's really sexy. The nurse is pretty hot. He's a teenager. Actually, he might be early teens, like 11 or 12. And he gets attacked by the aliens that Omega the Unknown was fighting in his dreams. And Omega the Unknown shows up and fights the one of the androids that's trying to capture the kid. And the kid fires some star bolts from his hands, and they both have Omegas on his hands. And Omega the Unknown takes the robot out of there, and the doctor comes in and sees the Omegas on his hands. And it says, "Mystery, menace, and madness. James Michael in Hell's Kitchen, a super being in the skids, and the chaos called the Incredible Hulk. All on sale in 60 days. To be continued in Omega the Unknown Classic." And it was so good that I was like, man, I really need to order this trade. It's so wonderful. But what a fun little experiment. And I hope you enjoyed my little sit-in before the Christmas holiday. I hope that you all have wonderful holidays, whether it be Christmas, Hanukkah, or whatever holiday you celebrate, or even if you don't celebrate the holiday. I hope you get to spend some time with family. If you're in retail, I feel for you because Christmas is usually the business time of year. And just fight through it. And I'm sure you can take off some time in January. I'm excited because I get to take some 2 weeks off before the end of the year. So I got a 5 more days to get through work days, and then I'm off. And that's going to be a fast vacation, man. That first 5 days are going to go fast as hell. But I'll probably be reading a lot at night. And that'll be cool. And watching a lot of streaming that I don't get to normally watch. So I'll probably get to watch The Toys That Made Us Season 3. I heard The Movies That Made Us Season 1 is out. I'd like to watch Titans streaming. And get caught up on Doom Patrol, because on T Titans I'd be on season 2, and Doom Patrol I'd be on season 1. And then I'd be caught up because I watched Titans season 1 and Swamp Thing season 1. And I'm caught up on the Harley Quinn cartoon. I still got a ways to go on the Young Justice one. But anyway, I wanted to cut this episode out. I thought, what the hell? Might as well make an episode of it. And I hope you enjoyed this quick one. And hopefully, you have a great holiday and a happy new year. And I hope all your dreams come true in 2020. So we'll be back in 2020, hopefully all three of us. But we'll keep the thing moving if it's only two of us. So we'll see. It just depends on schedule and how things work. So we'll talk to you very soon. You can reach Rob at Rob Krieger. Chris is at MythMakingETC. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. We are Geek Brunch Retrocast. You can find us on the geekbrunchpodcast.com. On the Facebook, you can search for Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. Leave any comments you want there. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you in 2020. Take care, and bye.